Hey now, welcome to the Dirty Side of the Track, America's leading Formula One podcast. I'm Brian, that's Rob. It's still the off season. It's the beginning of 24. Rob, I'm excited for today's episode. Are you, man?
I was, as we were putting together the outline of what we were going to do, I was getting very excited. And then I've entered a period of mourning as we have to come to terms with the fact, and I'm going to tread on the toes of the first story. But
let's get into it. Let's just jump right in.
Well, let's, you know, no more Gunther.
I know.
It's a very sad time. We'll get into that in news and social. But, you know, I'm excited about today's. We've always sort of flirted around this, and we've never really done it formally. We've kind of done a few little predictions here and there as to what we think might happen in the season. But what we've never actually done in all the years that we've been on air, all two of them, is we've never actually done an episode where we've both nailed our colours to the mast and just done a series of predictions. And then come the end of the season, we can blow the dust off this episode, and then we can mock each other for how badly we got all of these wrong.
You're going to have to hold a single prediction, because I love having multiple predictions. So you're going to have to hold me to an answer in some of these, okay?
Yeah, there better not be any Brian multi-choice answers in here, right?
Where multi-21 we put down, set, like... multi-21.
So that's basically to what we're doing today: news and social, video vault, and then our magic eight ball, where we have eight predictions each. Neither of us know what each other have done, and we will go through them one by one and mock each other, because each of us will firmly believe that we're right and the other one is wrong, and then only time will tell.
Well, so, or just align completely on who's going to be first.
Yeah, that would be really disappointing if, like,
I got some stuff.
Okay, you've got some stuff. Well, let's get into it then. So,
yeah, you said this already, though. No more Gunther. How sad is that?
Do you know what? I put a post on Threads. If you're not on Threads, then get over there, because the Formula One community is growing. It's a nice space over there. At the moment, it seems a lot less toxic than Twitter, but pretty sure if you wind your brains all the way back, Twitter probably started off like this as well. So, anyway, let's ride the wave while it's going. And I put a thread out that said, 10 years. And you've probably got two views of the coin. Oh my gosh, let's start again. Two sides of the coin here, right? Which is, on one side, it's 10 years with no real progress and his contract's come to an end. They didn't fire him, apparently. They just didn't extend his contract. So he's had a decade. Had he really done anything in that decade? The other side of that coin is, has he been punching above his weight for 10 years? Because he hasn't really had much funding either. So what do you think, Brian?
I mean, I still think until MoneyGram came along, weren't they one of the last teams to not even get near the cost cap? Like, they didn't even have the money to get near it. So, I mean, they literally wasted an entire year when they put, and I'm sorry, but Mick was part of that. They were hoping he'd be more. But Mazepin, that was a year where they just threw it away. They put a couple rookies out there hoping to see what was what. Mazepin brought money. Mick brought money. They needed that. They were just getting ready for the next year's regs. And they basically said, just go out and do what you can. And both guys knew the car was undrivable. No F1 team in today's world can afford to throw away a year. But they couldn't afford to not. And so I am of the mindset that maybe there was some, you know, a Rolling Stone gathers no moss. 10 years, no real progress. I know they don't have a lot of money, but maybe they had a lot of moss. And so maybe it was time. But his personality will sorely be missed.
Well, the other thing that I then put at the bottom of that post was... Netflix are either sobbing right now because they've just lost one of their big kind of headline acts, or they're negotiating a spin-off series, which is going to just be, maybe it's Gunther and Bonotto driving around in a Fiat. Who knows?
Yeah, but, could be. No, you know, the hard part of that is to, like, you know, you mentioned Drive to Survive. Can you imagine if Danny Rick weren't at AlphaTauri? What would they do? Those were the two main characters of Drive to Survive. If they had to do it straight up, I mean, they'd be inventing stories left and right. Netflix would be. But yeah, and you know what was interesting? The rumor of this started on Wednesday of this last week. And at the same time...
And sorry, just to interject here. And you were right on it, because you sent me like a WhatsApp saying... rumors that Gunther's going, but nothing confirmed yet. And I went, you know, diving around the internet to find out there were a handful of tweets that were kind of alluding to it. But the man Sap, he's got his finger on the pulse.
I was afraid to send it from the account because it would have looked stupid. And I was also in the middle of getting to the airport to take off for a flight, and I wouldn't have had any idea of what actually happened. But when the technical director, Simone Resta, left, and that was announced that morning... And then these rumors started on a couple places that I do actually trust. And I'm like, there's smoke with the technical director leaving, and then there's smoke with rumors in places that I trust, and it's been a while. I could see this happening. So it was disappointing for me to touch down in the Chi-town and realize it was true.
So what you missed then as you were taking off, is as this was swirling around and people were saying it, before any kind of announcement came out, the main thing that kind of I thought, yeah, this is happening, was all of a sudden people were screen grabbing the Haas website.
They took his name off. I did see
They took
that
his name off the team. And it's like, well, okay, you probably shouldn't have got the admin to update that before you made an announcement, but... Yeah, so
it reminds me of the time I was a consultant and our consulting firm was let go from a project and we didn't know this, but all of a sudden everyone's email stopped working at the client site. Oh, that's a sign.
So before we start talking about other aspects of the news here, just to finish this one here. So if they are looking forward and saying he hasn't pushed the team forward, is the action that you take go
promoting
get
from
someone like Otmar and get a new direction for the team? Or do you promote somebody internally that's just worked under Gunther for the last however many years? So, so you know what? So you've got former director of engineering. Oh, you can take this
Ayo
from Brian.
Komatsu. And so,
that's him, yeah.
And one of the second or third, depending how you look at it, Japanese team principals, which is exciting to have that opportunity. But you're right. If Gunther was too much of the same and not changing things up enough, shaking it up, will this? But I guess you got to give him a chance, right? I mean, you give him some time and see.
Or are they not investing a lot of money in bringing in a big team principal because they're keeping the costs down and he's just streamlining it, ready to sell it to Andretti?
Well, oh boy, look at you. Look at you. You never know, man. You never know. The next story is all yours because I didn't even see this.
Yeah, it's just, it seems to be, I don't know, a never-ending stream of people leaving the FIA. So last couple of weeks, we feel like we've been talking about people that have been leaving positions that we didn't really know, but the F1 paddock seemed to be sort of concerned about. And we've got another one here. Don't really know his name. Tim Goss was technical director within the FIA. He worked at McLaren from 1990 to 2018, took up a role with the FIA, apparently highly respected within the paddock. And yeah, he's followed sporting director Steve Nielsen out the door as well. So... I don't know what's going on at the FIA. Seems like they've got a lot of, all we seem to be reporting on at the moment is lots of good people that the paddock really likes seem to be leaving the organization.
Yeah. Well, all right then.
Nicholas
Tambasis will just fix it all. Some magical person we've talked about forever and never makes the news. On a news part that I actually do care about, Williams is going to stick with Mercedes power to at least the end of 2030. Agreeing on an extension to be the customer of the Mercedes power unit at Williams. That's great. I mean, we haven't seen a power unit shift in a while. I'm trying to remember the last one. Was it like Red Bull when they left Renault and went to Honda? There's probably one since then.
It's probably one since. But yeah, they don't seem to be happening as often as they used to.
Right.
I say often. I don't think they happened every season, but you're right.
No, but it has been a bit. I mean, we have the Ferrari teams, we've got the Mercedes teams, and we got the Honda power unit. That's, and of course, Renault Alpine doing their own thing off with their down on power unit. Oh, look at us.
And then you can tell it's the off season when kind of news that really isn't sort of shocking or of interest just sort of seems to flood everywhere. All of a sudden, midweek, everyone was going about Ferrari are going to unveil a new nose, which is going to apparently completely copy the Red Bull principle around, the Red Bull principle of their setup to try to target front end performance in high speed corners. And I'm looking at it and going, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't everybody look at what Red Bull did last year in a ridiculously dominant car and go, what can we do to be more like that? Because what you're not going to do is go the polar opposite and say, I'll show Red Bull. I'll come up with an even better design that you haven't even thought of, Mr. Newey.
I'm bringing back the Lotus nose with one longer than the other.
Yeah, go back to the finger noses. That would be fantastic. I mean, the only thing that would really make me laugh this year that would really show just how good Newey is if Red Bull rock up with a zero side pod design and dominate.
Now, could you imagine if Red Bull did something that actually went backwards and they had like porpoising to start the year? Could you imagine if they're driving around there and basically this is Max? Like,
I
could not.
No, I could not. I don't think they will. I think it's on everyone else to catch them up. I don't think they can
Yeah.
rely on anybody, Red Bull giving out favors and dropping
No.
backwards. So,
We have car launch dates coming up.
no, we
Actually,
don't.
not that
We
far
have
away.
livery reveal
Yeah,
dates,
that's
don't
fine.
we?
That's fine. Livery reveal dates within the next month, in about a month from now, as of recording, we're going to see a bunch of these dates happen. And actually, almost all of them have been announced so far. And basically, from February 5th to Valentine's Day, February 14th, we're going to see all of them, starting with Williams, Alpine, and State, and Sauber on the 5th, and Williams, as I mentioned. We'll see on the 7th, Alpine. And then it's just a flood, right? Aston Martin on the 12th. Oh, I missed Red Bull. Sorry, on the 8th. I missed
On
them.
the
My,
8th, yep.
yep. And then it's Ferrari on the 13th. We've got McLaren on the 14th, Mercedes on the 14th, and we're still waiting on AlphaTauri, the Blue Bulls, and Haas. I had to say that
Well, Haas,
still,
they've
so
got
the
to
word
start
thing
peeling
doesn't
all the
come
Gunther faces off. That was going to be the new livery, was just his face all over the car, so now they're going to have to back out of that one. But yeah, no, the reason I said about the livery thing is that I hope they're just honest this year. Because for the last couple of years, they keep going on about, oh yeah, we're going to reveal our new car for the new season. It's like, no, you're not. You're going to reveal probably last year's model with a new livery on it because you don't want to give anything away till testing. So just call them livery launches. Stop calling them car launches because most of them, we're not going to see the actual car until testing. Anyway, that's a little Rob's rant out of the way. Monza has begun work on improvements to its track and infrastructure because it's apparently on a knife edge as to its future. Yes, it's historic. Yes, it's Ferrari. Yes, they kind of get their way and make sure that everything they want stays in F1, but it is looking a little bit tired. It does need upgrading. So they're spending some time, and I think it's targeted for this year's race, actually, that they're really pumping money in to bring it up to scratch. So
They're only on the
they've had a lot
calendar.
of back.
Yeah, they're only on the calendar through 25, so they have two more
Yeah,
years of
exactly.
committed racing there. I think it would be horrible if they left. I love Monza, but we've worked with people who have gone there and said getting in and out of the track is a disaster.
Well, that's one of the things, the infrastructure they've said, like the
Yeah.
fan experience, it's not just the facilities when you're inside the track, the infrastructure apparently is terrible. So they're gonna probably, spend a lot of money digging stuff up and making stuff shiny and new, and then probably still have problems getting in and out of the track. But it'll look shiny and new anyway, so.
Wind tunnel times were confirmed, and as everybody knows, it goes in inverse order of finish in terms of how much time you get. So Red Bull has the least, 840 hours of wind tunnel time, followed by Mercedes at 900, Ferrari 960, blah, blah, blah. On to Haas with the most at 1380, 1380 hours of wind tunnel time, which is 540 hours more than Red Bull's 840. So it's a significant difference in time. The question is, will they be able to use that for good? And
I
yeah.
yeah, and I always kind of wish we could have known about this kind of stuff right back at the beginning of this pod when we had Blake, aka Break F1 on, somebody that understands this stuff. Is that okay? It must be a big difference. It's a lot of hours difference, but and I don't mean to do Haas a disservice here, but if you've got a bunch of Haas engineers sitting around just watching the wind tunnel blow, kind of go, what do you reckon we should do? Don't know. Keep it blowing. Let's see what happens. Like, do they get as much out of their 1380 as like Newey would get out of say like 3 hours? Like, just out of those 840. If Newey's just given like half a day to go and sit in there, it's like looking at the Matrix. He can probably just go, "Yep, change that. Nailed it."
I never thought about this. He's bald and he's also relatively thin. He's probably fairly aerodynamic as a person. He may have styled himself in the wind tunnel.
That's true. Maybe he physically spends time in the wind tunnel with the car and
Just hanging on for dear life.
Oh man. One last thing. It's not really news, a bit self-indulgent, it's all about us. But Google, if you do happen to listen to us on Google Podcasts, which judging by the stats, not many of you do. In fact, not many people use Google Podcasts very much, and that is probably why they're shutting it down. So if you subscribe to us on Google Podcasts, you will either need to go find a new one to download us through, or they are migrating everything over to YouTube. So YouTube Music is going to be the new home for their podcasts. And then what they're also doing for folk like ourselves that publish them is they're being very clever and taking the RSS feed and automatically creating a video on YouTube as well. So we'll be published on YouTube Music, but we'll also get a video automatically created, which is just a static image of the album art. And you'll probably know this if you happen to see our channel, because when I uploaded the RSS feed yesterday or the day before to get it set up, it went and it back uploaded all 100 and whatever it is, 106, 111 episodes that we've ever done. And If you were on our Discord, it got a little crazy with the announcements of new videos dropping.
And don't
I
forget,
apologize for that. Well, not my fault. That's YouTube music. I'm
that's
telling
YouTube
you.
Music. But also don't forget, we're on Radio St. Pete Monday nights at 8 Eastern. Can be found at RadioSt.Pete.com or on the Florida Sports Stream, which is 96.7 Sunshine FM in St. Pete, Florida. Okay, I think it's time for a little bit of Video Vault, as you kind of teed us up with the idea of those different podcast areas. So let us open the door to the vault. This was a... oh, wait, the door's not open. This was a fun one because as we kind of went through this week, I had a handful of just regular videos. But then it's almost as though the F1 social admin is listening. And if you are, you know, why don't you give us a quote tweet every now and then? So first off, obviously, Connor Moore had a take on Gunther getting sacked. I love Connor Moore. I think he's fantastic. This was 2 minutes. It was the most boring 2 minutes of Connor Moore I've ever seen. I don't know why. He's so funny and so good. It's almost like he rushed it and said, I'm just going to do a two-minute video of Gunther pretending to get sacked. But it wasn't that funny, I didn't think. We have 21 times F1 was a literal meme on the F1 channel next to, and one of these was released this week, but one was a couple days before our last podcast and I didn't get to it. The 2023 F1 season, but it's just the memes. Okay, here's the listener tip. Go to the time 21 times F1 was a literal meme. It's 7 minutes. Don't worry about the one for 23. It's good if you have time for both. But if I were you, I'd go to 21 times F1 was a literal meme. I loved it. I laughed
my
butt
that.
Off.
I watched that one as well. Well, yeah, I did. I think they scraped the barrel in some places because there's quite a range of memes in there, right? You've got the, Seb on the moped. You've got, is it De La Rosa jumping over the barrier and ending up in a river?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's some real good ones in there. Then there's just some ones that they just left on there for too long. I don't find the George Russell facts one, where Rookie of the Year, that funny, but that seemed to take up about like 40 seconds. I'm like,
I don't
you could have
just
shown
that
and then moved on to the next one.
That video is actually funny. Like, the meme of it is not. Like, him doing a PowerPoint with Alex Albon and Lando Norris and them all presenting their own cases why they should be... That video for 8 minutes is hilarious. The meme doesn't work. So I agree with you. We then, as I said, they were listening at the F1 social media area, and there were two shorts that came out this week, so after our episode. One, when the medical car does more harm than good on the F1 channel, this is Taki Inoue getting hit by the medical car, and they have some good footage of it, and Rob had brought that up in last week's episode as we went through the decades. So Rob, you're being listened to. And then they had another one that came out this week, how Senna saved another driver's life on the F1 channel. Also a short, exactly as I described it on the Going Through the Decades.
Curious. I think they are listening, Brian, and we should be getting some kind of kickback here for helping them push content.
Just even a quote tweet will do. And then finally, 12 times, and this was my favorite one, 12 times F1 drivers got heated. It's 12 minutes. This is the one you want. This is so good. There's so many versions of drivers getting mad at each other, but not just, you know, this isn't just calling them a name, right? I mean, this isn't just, you know, Fernando basically saying something about, you know, Lewis like this on radio. It's more than that. It's confrontations. It's pushing and shoving and kicking. The kicking is my favorite. The running after people in the paddock, the punching. I mean, this was the one. 12 times F1 drivers got heated. And we actually had Valtteri talking about the crash with George Russell at Imola on our very little podcast here when he came on last year.
This is Valtteri Bottas, and you're listening to The Dirty Side of the Track.
So if you want some insights into that from Valtteri himself, go back and check out that episode. But with that, unless Rob has anything, I can close the door?
No, you can close it up.
Let's do it. F1 social admin stealing our notes.
Man, well, I'm sure they're going to be stealing our predictions as well because they're going to be that good. So, as we said, it's Magic 8-Ball time. We have 8 different predictions we're going to make.
Do we need a little theme to get into the mood? Just for a second,
the game.
Yeah, why not? I always got something. We've used it before. Magic 8-Ball.
Brilliant. So, should we just go through them in the order that we've got them here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, and take it in turns. So, the first one, the obvious one, is, well, it's top three in the World Drivers' Championship and bottom three in the World Drivers' Championship. Let's start at the bottom and start in 20th spot. and we'll take it in turn. So I'll go first for, and I'll name 20th. You can name 19th, and you know, so on. We'll see if we agree on any of these. So in 20th, last in the Drivers' Championship, I think the car's going to suck this year. So I've gone for Zhou.
Okay, I've gone with Kevin Magnussen. But I also in 19th, I have. Yeah. Hulkenberg. I have none other than... Hold on. I have Nico. I'm all in on Haas being bad.
Okay, well, so 19th, I have Kevin Magnussen. So, okay, so what you got is your 18th then?
Joe.
Oh, on 18th, I got Hulkenberg.
So we have the same three.
So we are both seeing very poor performances, and we'll come on to, I think this might already kind of shake out on the next prediction after this one. But okay, so top three then. So
Well, hang on. I actually went back and looked at 23. Our predictions do hold water. Those three were near the bottom. I think we have a good chance on those. But go for it. Go. What do you have at the top?
Well, at the top, in third, on the third step of the World Drivers' Championship, falling one position from last year's entry, Checo Perez.
I have Oscar Piastri.
Look
at me. Shots fired.
Okay, so who have you got in second?
Lando F. Norris.
Snapperoni. So I'm sure that means we've both got exactly the same person.
So
Max,
you have Lando
one,
second,
right?
As well, but you have Checo third. Okay, so I have Max third. First, of course. Maximilian Verstappen. Debated this, right? So we both agreed Sauber and Haas struggling a little, and Valtteri is amazing. He'll get his way above Joe, and then it leaves the Haas boys and Joe in the bottom three in a different order than we both had. We both have Max and Lando, but I have Oscar. So I was trying to figure out, are we going to see a Checo renaissance or a Mercedes or Ferrari renaissance? Or do I go with Vegas's pick on McLaren being good? And I do believe that when a team comes on at the end of the year is when everyone's deployed all their upgrades, right? So the car that leaves the year is honestly the car they have, right? And throughout the year, it fluctuates. In the beginning of the year, they're waiting on upgrades. The end of the year means something to me, and McLaren was that good towards the end of the year, and I'm hopeful they can find something to bring it to Red Bull a little bit. We'll get into the Drivers' Championship in a minute, and you can kind of see where I'm
going.
We'll
get into the Constructors' Championship.
That's what I meant, Constructors' Championship. But so that's how
we just did that.
But I did put Oscar there. And
okay, well, hold you fine, because I think we'll have a good discussion about this once we've done the Constructors as well then. So I think this is going to be very similar. So sitting 10th in the bottom of the driver in the Constructors' Championship. Who do you have?
Haas.
Same here.
Okay, so although, then I have so Sauber 9th.
Same here. And that's why I kind of saw, although I had Zhou at the bottom and then the Haas boys, I still think, like you said, Valtteri will score enough points.
Who
to
do you have
Sauber.
8th? Because I dropped somebody a bit.
Okay. 8th, I've got Williams.
Okay. I have Alpine.
Ooh, okay. Okay, so you've got Alpine falling all the way down.
Yes. 7th, I have AlphaTauri.
7th, I have Alpine.
Okay. Oh, you have AlphaTauri above them. Fascinating. I have Williams in 6th.
I've got AlphaTauri in 6th.
Okay, so I will say
I thought
this.
That car
I
was starting to come back to life a little bit towards the end of last season.
I agree. I kind of have a group there. 6, 7, 8. I even wrote a note here. I have Williams, AlphaTauri, and Alpine kind of grouped together. Like, they'll be battling for those spots.
We have the same three in that group of 6, 7, 8. Yeah. We've just decided different orders. But
you think they'll be close, though? Because I think those three will be close.
Yeah, I do. I think Haas and Sauber are going to get cut adrift a little bit. And I think Sauber are only going to be saved by Valtteri popping into the points every now and again.
Valtteri's going to drag that car around the track and somehow get them above Haas, I think.
Yeah.
What do you have for 5th? I'm assuming we have the same 5th. I have Aston Martin.
I've got Aston. Yeah, yep, Aston Martin. I don't see them coming out of the gates and catching anybody cold this year. So I think that they finished not strong. Well, they finished better than they had a really poor middle of the season last year. They came out like an absolute kind of horse straight out the gate. Then they kind of dropped and then they clawed it back a little bit. Right. But I just think they've kind of bust their lot now. And
well, their car ended poorly. And like I said, that's where I put, you know, I start slotting them from there because they build from that car. Unless you throw it away and start over. But trust me, it's not like they're starting with a completely fresh piece of paper. They're at least starting on last year's car, even if they throw it away. I have...
Who have you got in 4th?
I have Ferrari in 4th.
Copy, we'll check that.
Sorry, Rob.
I have Mercedes in fourth.
Interesting, they have Mercedes in third. Do you have Ferrari in third?
And I have Ferrari in third.
And
yes,
I have them, so as I said, a good battle, Ferrari and Mercedes,
same
third
here.
And fourth. Except I have Mercedes.
And I just looked at it and I thought, well, Ferrari were just kind of witness protection last year, right? Actually, they didn't have too many. We didn't really mock them too often for bad strategy.
Right.
Unlike the season before. However, we never really got that excited about them. Yeah, okay, Sainz won in Singapore and we had some moments, but I was like, do you know what? That kind of, they quietly went about their business and kept improving. Yeah. Never really, you know. So, yeah, is it the Ferrari fanboy in me thinking they can improve this year, maybe grab a couple of wins? Who knows? But yeah, I think that means Mercedes, top two.
In the middle of the year, just, you know, went away from the nose side pods and they put on side pods. They glued them on with super glue and Gorilla tape and basically turned the car around completely. And I think they're going to build on that concept. And Mercedes,
but they're not,
is
are they?
Mercedes.
This is the problem. This was my tipping balance between Ferrari and Mercedes, because that report came out that said they've kissed goodbye to the previous year's car and there's these wholesale changes right across the car. It's going to go one of two ways. It's either going to be a nothing burger and the car's not going to be any better, but now they're going to be back to the beginning, learning a new car again, and probably, you know, sit around that midfield challenging for the occasional podium, or they'll nail it and they will, and my prediction will be wrong, and they may even go above McLaren, who I have in second, and Red Bull in first, which I imagine you do as well.
And you know what? Here's the only interesting part I have on the McLaren. I actually think they'll be able to see Red Bull for the first half of the season in the Constructors' Championship. What I mean by that is it won't be super close, but they'll be within touching distance, where we haven't written it off fully yet, even though it's going that direction. So Johnny Optimist over here is hoping that when we hit the summer break, McLaren's within shouting distance of Red Bull. We'll see.
Okay, so now we sort of get into the meat of kind of, you know, winners and things like this. So last year we had three race winners. We had Max, Checo, and Sainz. That's all we had. Three race winners across the entire season. So our next prediction was, how many race winners are we going to see in this season?
Say your number on the count of three. No, three. And then we'll name them when we're done. Three. When I go to one and then go, this is the lethal weapon moment. Don't do it on one.
Yeah.
Do it beat after one, and then you pull yourself off the toilet and it explodes. All right. So three, two, one, six.
Five. Ooh, you've gone one bigger.
I have.
Okay, go on. Who are your six? And I'll tell you.
I'll do them in order. I'm assuming we are five overlap. Max. You have Max?
Yep, of course.
Checo?
Yep.
I have Charles.
Yep.
Lewis.
Mm.
And I have Oscar and Lando. I have the McLaren boys, the Red Bull boys, Lewis and Charles. And I will say this. This means that Lewis F. Hamilton will be the first person to ever go over 300 races and get a win.
Okay, so my five were Max and Checo, so, you know, two Red Bull winners. Charles and Sainz, two Ferrari winners.
Oh,
so
look at you, all in on Ferrari. This is great.
Well, not all in, just I think they'll, you know, Singapore's an opportunity for everybody, so maybe the Ferrari can do that again there. And then Monza, they were close last year.
Have you been drinking already?
Question?
And then Lando. Got in there. I do have Lando as a... which kind of then ripples into our next question, which was, any first-time winners, and if so, who? Well, obviously, yes, because I've said Lando. You've got two first-time winners. You're saying Lando and Oscar.
And?
So who...
Yeah, here's where it gets more interesting.
Well, so who do you have winning first out of those two?
Oscar. Because life never goes like you think. And he was... He learned. You could see him like processing as the season went on. He got stronger. He got better. He made mistakes, but he learned from them. I think that's awesome. Like, that's what you expect out of youth or newness to a position, that maturation that shows that I'm getting better as I go. And yes, Lando is a more experienced and I would say at this point a better driver. I have Lando finishing ahead of Oscar in the Drivers' Championship. But I think there's going to be something that happens where Oscar just puts it all together and he's going to get that win before Lando. But I have them both winning next year.
Okay, so I didn't go for Oscar purely because, and this could be a massive humble pie that I have to eat when he wins Bahrain and you can play this back. But I just thought, I put a clickbait headline. I was having a bit of a joke on Twitter and I put, rookie Oscar Piastri will not be on the grid next season. Because he won't be a rookie anymore. And the joke was because he's been a rookie for the last three...
Was this recent?
Yeah, it was in the middle of the week when you were flying, I think.
Yeah.
And He's been a rookie for the last 3 years of his career because he's rookie in F1. I believe he was rookie in F2 and he was rookie in F3 or whatever. So he's had the last 3 years of his driving, he's always turned up as a rookie. He's always had almost like no expectation. So I just wonder if the weight of expectation this season, this might be his check and balance season where he does really well, but maybe it's next year that he really kicks on. So I didn't go and put an Oscar win down for that reason.
I did, and like I already said, I've got Oscar and Lando both first-time winners. Oscar getting there first, which will piss Lando off to no end.
How early in the season are you thinking then? I
Oh,
mean, this isn't
I
one
mean,
of our
this is,
predictions,
yeah,
but
I mean, I don't know.
no, go on, just
First
throw
half.
it
I
out
got
there.
first half. I have it in the first half before summer
First
break.
half.
And
Okay.
I think Lewis gets the win in the first half as well, breaking the 300 races. You were so horny for that to happen last year, and it didn't.
Yeah, and I
And
think
now
it's gone. I
I
think the
am,
moment's,
nope,
yeah.
I'm really excited for Lewis to break it, break that record.
If they'd had a good year and they were building on the same concept and fine-tuning it, I'd have been there. This just feels like another gamble year for them. They're just like, well, do you know what? Everything's going to change in 26 anyway, so we've got two more seasons just to keep throwing the dice and see what happens. But I don't know. Yeah.
Interestingly, neither one of us had Carlos winning, who was the only one who won this year,
But
not in a Red Bull.
I did.
Oh, you did. You had both Ferrari
Yeah,
boys. I'm
both
sorry. That's right.
Ferraris, unless
That's
there's
right. My
another guy
bad.
driving Ferrari this
No,
year
I
that I'm not
screwed that
aware
up.
of.
All
I'll
right.
let you off.
Which livery will you like the
No, 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 no.
most
You
and
jump. You've
least?
jumped one. You've jumped one. The
You think
first
so?
seat change announcement.
Did you flip the order of these on me?
No, I don't think so. I copied and pasted them in. Did I? Did I? I apologize if I did.
You did. Five of which livery?
Oh, I did in there. Yeah. Now that's all on me. When I copied and pasted it into my notes, I didn't put.
So, yeah,
Okay.
don't be so sure I screwed up,
I will back
pal.
down, Mr. Sat. I'm there. Okay. Which livery? Okay. We just
Here's
talked about
Rob.
livery
You're wrong.
launches.
I'm right. Look at me.
Oh, gonna have to
Okay.
get my own soundboard, I'm telling you.
You do. So, which livery is most and least? So here's how I tackled this one. I worked on this. I went through all of this year's liveries, and I kind of thought about the progression over the last couple years. And there are parameters that the teams have to work on with branding and sponsors. So McLaren's going to have papaya throughout the whole thing. If you're not a big papaya fan, not much you can do with it. And like if BWT is still big with Alpine, the best water treatment, there's going to be some pink in there in that same blue color. So I started thinking, who's got a little more creative freedom given their branding and sponsors? And so I'll do the most, the one I'm looking for the most, and then you can do the
Sorry, wake
most.
me up when you get to your conclusion as to.
And so as there were so many things I wanted to say though. I can't because we're clean. The cleanest dirty side of the track. So the ones I'm looking forward to
No, 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 no. Not the ones. This is where we've got to keep you honest. You have a prediction. What is the livery you are going to like the most, and what is the livery you're going to hate the most? There's just two.
God, this
There's
is hard.
two that are going to come out of your
I know.
mouth
Let
here,
me
Brian.
explain what the three I'm choosing from, and I'll give you one. Ferrari, because I think it's going to be
Because it'll be
fantastic.
red.
But that's the problem, is they don't get crazy with it. It's not going to
No.
like knock us over. Haas, because well, they're going to be slow, and so we're going to see more of the car more often, so they got to make it look good. Sorry, Haas. And then Mercedes, I thought. So I'm going to say Haas. They're going to go a little aggressive with the livery. MoneyGram's behind them. Chipotle, they're going to have a burrito on the car. They're going to make the
Okay.
Duracell battery on the Williams will be a burrito wrap. So I don't know. I'm going Haas. Haas is my answer.
Okay.
What do you have?
I've actually gone McLaren. I think they've always had sweet looking cars since the new shapes came out, and I do like the papaya. So and they do mix it up a little bit. We've seen some different kind of flavors of that. I know we're not going to get the Golf
Oh
McLaren
yeah, not in
again,
this one.
but
Yeah, not
but no, I
one-offs.
think McLaren. If I can do what you did and kind of toy with that, I was like, right, Aston. Aston, we loved when it first came out, and the green was absolutely spectacular on the new shape car, and we both loved the Ferrari on the new shape car. But now the shape of the car isn't changing that much, and I don't think Aston Martin or Ferrari will really. I'll like both of them, I think, but I
Right.
don't think they'll be the chef's kiss. Mercedes will just be their kind of black with their little logos all
That's
over it,
why I
and we'll
didn't
be
pick
no
them of the
difference.
three.
So
Yeah.
yeah, I've gone for
Okay.
McLaren. My worst. I'm just going to dive straight in there. My worst is going to be Haas.
It could
Polar
be.
opposite to you.
Very
I
well could
just,
be.
I never rated really their liveries that
I liked
much.
last year's the black and the white and the red. I thought it was pretty
Yeah.
good, even though I wore my blue Haas hat outside to do some snow blowing this morning.
It was that or a toss up between that or Sauber.
Fascinating. I have two different teams.
But I think the black and the neon green, they could spectacularly screw it up and it'll be awful, or it could be amazing. So because it could be amazing, I didn't put it worst. I also didn't bet on it being the best because it could also be awful. So
fascinating. So I have Haas best, you have Haas worst. You have McLaren best, and my worst is AlphaTauri Blue Bulls. For me, it was between AlphaTauri and Alpine. Alpine's going to be French, so whatever that means. And then AlphaTauri, it's supposed to be stylish. It's like a style brand. But since they got rid of those big white wheels a couple years ago, which I loved, I feel like it's been all downhill from there. So,
see, I've been a bit of a sucker. I've always preferred the AlphaTauri over the Red Bull. The way the white bull on the engine cover always seems more prominent than the yellow orangey one on the Red Bull. So I've always liked the way they've styled the bull on the back of the car. So,
well, we'll see. They're screwed up this year. The Blue Bulls are going to be Hugo Boss, Blue Bulls, whatever.
Just because you don't like the name doesn't mean you won't like the livery. But okay, so we're very different on our... and we won't have long to find out about those. A lot of these are going to be long burners throughout the season, but this is going to be within the next few weeks. So, okay. But
unfortunately, it's still subjective? Question? All right.
No, I think you can be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
So if you thought Haas was going to be the best...
We know you won't be. You're just going to agree with yourself.
If I don't like the McLaren one, I will say it. If I don't think Haas were the worst, I'll say it. You know, I think we have to be honest with ourselves. And talking of being honest, you have to be honest that I didn't flip the order and you just wanted to beat me up and going on to the question that should have been first.
Right. First seat change announcement.
Yeah.
And so this one, like, you explain it, because there's a lot of options here, but I have the answer.
All I really wanted to know, because if you tried to do the entire thing, it would be worse than listening to you describe your favorite livery. It would have been like a murder board with all the kind of sappers got all
that.
The strings.
I have all my notes here, but I won't explain
it. Yeah, exactly. So all I wanted to say was, if a driver's going to start a domino effect, like, which is the first announcement we'll hear? And that obviously then probably goes, I didn't need you to like say, well, we'll have this one followed by this one, followed by this one, followed by this one.
I got it.
Who's going to start the dominoes, right? So I'll just say mine quickly, and then I'll sit back and have a drink while we listen to you.
I'm ready to do it fast as well.
Okay, I'm just saying Lawson to AlphaTauri is going to be the first thing announced.
So who's leaving Alpha?
I don't know yet, but the first, what we're going to hear is that Lawson is getting promoted into an AlphaTauri.
In 24 or for 25? We need an answer. In-season seat change.
In-season change.
Holy cow.
Yes.
Okay, so I said, just to clarify, I said no in-season seat changes. So my announcement is Pierre to Williams. And it'll happen in the summer. So it'll be summer break, and we will hear that Pierre is going to go partner with Alex at Williams, and they're going to try to hold Alex by bringing in Pierre, and the two of them are going to try to bring Williams back to continue this rise. I've got them sixth in the Constructors' Championship. I see Pierre on the move. There's so many contracts coming up for 25 that it will be a silly season. I did not see enough rookies, to poop in the Pirellis where there'll be a lot of in-season changes. So in my mind, I think it'll be this gap
As I tried
year.
To sort of tell the story, I was kind of thinking...
I like your Lawson call. That's a good one.
Yeah, and I mean, if I kind of play that forward, it's probably Danny Rick, right? And him maybe getting the Checo seat. And
maybe.
Checo being seatless, and somebody will pick him up. And so I was kind of plotting this whole thing around. I was like, no, but the thing that we'll hear, even if they have to do the dominoes in the other order behind the scenes, the thing that will break first, the first breaking news will be Lawson to AlphaTauri.
In
and then
season,
the internet will lose its mind. And because
That's Checo's, bold.
Well,
Looking I said bold. Pierre to Williams, so that's my move, and it'll be announced in the summer, and from there, the dominoes will go.
So talking of bold, our next one we had to do was a bold prediction for the year. After you, sir, what's your bold prediction?
Andretti's approved for 2027. And so I think it'll be an 11th team on the grid. They have the money, but they're waiting too long to approve them. They're not going to be ready by 26 at this point. So I say Andretti's approved. They'll start in 27. It'll happen during the race season of 24. This will get announced.
My bold prediction is Williams to podium this year.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like that.
I can see Alex. I don't know.
Yeah. Alex drives
it might have
that
to be
thing
a Monaco.
Around somewhere.
Yeah, it might have to be a Monaco and taking advantage of misfortune of others or whatever it might be. But yeah, I'm going for a Williams podium this year.
I like that a lot. I had others like I was thinking through that I didn't. I already said Williams finishing sixth. Oscar gets a win before Lando. We've talked about this. We both agree a silly season on steroids. I almost said Kyalami joins the calendar in 25. Like, that was really where I wanted to go. But there's only two circuits whose contracts end in 24, Suzuka and Silverstone, and neither one of those are going anywhere. So,
no, you wouldn't have thought so. You'd hope not.
And I hope we don't go above 24 races. So in my mind, we won't have any track silly season until, you know, 25. Because then we'll see a lot of people fall off. And the number of contracts, just because I did all this research, the number of contracts ending in 25 for circuits, Spa, Monaco, Monza, Mexico, Imola, Zandvoort, China, and Vegas. I thought Vegas was longer, so that might have been old info. But regardless, I hate to say it, Mexico and Imola, to me, feel at risk in that crew. Because Imola was off the calendar from 07 to 20. So yeah. I could see them disappearing again. Anyway, whatever, enough.
And if Monza's pumping all the cash to bring it up to speed, there's this feeling, I think, at the moment of not many countries, unless you're huge countries like the United States, not many countries are going to get multiple races.
Italy's the size of Florida, basically. You know, like, could you imagine having two races next to Miami and then Daytona Beach? That would be silly.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, so then... Last year, we tried this for a bit of fun. You know, we tried to get this a takeoff on Twitter. It never really did. But we had, before each race, we would ask for what we called an F1 crap, where crap is an anagram, an acronym, for completely ridiculous, accurate predictions. So you have to come up with something, you know, when we were doing it during the season, you needed to throw in a prediction of Oscar Piastri will crash out on lap 27 after colliding with Valtteri Bottas. So it needed to be ridiculously precise, and then we tried to see who could get the closest to it. I don't think anybody ever nailed one, surprisingly. No, yeah. So we've decided to do one for the season. So it'll be our ridiculously accurate prediction for 2024
season.
Mine is good. What you got, Brian?
Mine's accurate, but it may not be ridiculous enough. Although what I'm predicting is, on May 25th, 2024.
Oh my God, well, it is ridiculous
already. Charles Leclerc takes pole at Monaco. And on May 26th of 2024, Charles Leclerc wins his home race, breaking the worst jinx in F1 motorsport currently, the Monaco Grand Prix.
I mean, he's so wants to win that race.
So badly.
It would mean so much
so
to him.
Much
and
to
he's,
him.
And he's, how many times has he got pole there?
Well, at least once. Remember the one when he had it and then couldn't start because he clawed
at
the wall?
I think he's a multiple pole sitter there, and he's just never been able to convert. Of all the poles that he's not been able to convert, this is the one that probably hurts the most because he just so wants to win Monaco.
And it didn't rain the time that he couldn't start first because of his gearbox. So, like, he also started high, and then they had the horrible strategy where the inters and wets, and they brought him in and in and in, and then he, like, was fourth and couldn't get out of fourth or third ahead of Max. So that's for me. And he had trouble there when he was with Sauber. He had trouble there in the juniors. He's always struggled with his home race, I think because he wants it so much. And so I'm predicting he'll take pole and convert pole to win at Monaco this year. Breaking the jinx.
Okay. Mine, I was randomly looking at the stats last year, trying to pick one out that I could be accurate and ridiculous about at the same time. So last year, after five races, we'd had five different drivers on the podium, and by the end of the season we'd had 11 different drivers on the podium. So within the first, you know, we'd had five and five and then up to 11. I'm saying that after the first five races this year we will have had seven different drivers on the podium but by the end of the season that will only grow to nine. So we're gonna have all this competition at the beginning where all these different drivers are jockeying for position and sharing podiums around, and then I think that's going to kind of settle in and we'll only get a couple of surprises. So I'm saying we get more drivers on the podium after the first five than we did last year. Ultimately, by the end of the season, we only have nine podium sitters rather than the 11 that we had last year.
That's fascinating that you would limit it to nine when you have five winners. So you've already got five people on the top step, but you're just going to let them rotate through the second, third, and only introduce four other people?
Correct.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. It's a fascinating one. Can I ask a question? You or I, we can debate how we do this, but can we make a graphic of some of these predictions and post it everywhere so that when something actually works, we don't have to point people back to a podcast or say, I told you so. We can just quote tweets.
Yeah, we can do some pictures. There's eight of them. We'll have eight pictures, and, you know, I'll take...
I'll do four of them before, and we'll figure it out. The ones that look like crayon will be done by me.
I was going to say, let me just do them.
Okay, it works. Thank you.
I'll take that special picture that you sent me, and I'll put both our faces and I'll have our predictions in the middle, and I'll use a very flattering picture of you.
Trusting you won't. You proving if you're trustworthy or not with that picture.
Oh, that is true, actually. That's very true.
With my Nigel Mansell mustache.
Yeah, so that brings to an end our shaking of the eight ball. Now, I say brings to an end because I do want to go back then. So we've first set of predictions, right, around the drivers and the constructors. So one of the F1 craps I was going to do, but I abandoned it because I was trying to do too many calculations. How far clear do you have Red Bull of McLaren or Max even of the field? One of my predictions was going to be in the F1 crap section was that Max won't lap the entire field this time.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And neither will Red Bull. So, yeah. And I was like, I was going to try to work out how many of the field will Max lap. That was going to be my prediction. And I can't work out if I think that I'm kidding myself that we're going to have a much more open season this year and therefore it'll all be closer, or if we've just got more people coming to the party of best of the rest. You know, last year it kind of fluctuated. Sometimes it was Aston Martin, sometimes it was Ferrari. We never really got the whole group together. This year, I think if they all hit the ground running together, yeah, then we get four or five teams all jockeying for best of the rest.
Yeah.
What do you think?
So I don't think Max will lap everyone like he did at the last race to lap Checo. I don't think that'll happen. I don't think he'll even lap third and fourth. I do think he'll lap a lot of people quickly. Let me put it that way. 25 points, that's a whole season for Haas and Sauber. So his first win, he already beats a couple constructors, and he's going to win early. But
go on.
I was going to say, I don't think he's going to lap McLaren, the McLaren boys like that, as I have them second and third, and Checo will be fourth. I don't think he laps Checo, and we'll see. I do have Mercedes ahead of Ferrari. I don't know necessarily what that means for George, Lewis, Charles, and Carlos, but I do obviously have Lewis and Charles winning, so I probably have them ahead of Carlos and George. I just don't know necessarily if it's those two, then those two. Like, I don't know how that specific. But so, no, I'm with you. I actually, or at least as you were hinting, I don't think he laps the field the same way. However, from a constructor perspective, I think we could see, I think the second half, if they're doing well, I could see them really continuing to pull away. As I sort of said, McLaren's in sight of them, but then I don't think it.
I guess this is the interesting bit I wanted to kind of just zoom in on what you'd said, is that if you've got Lando and Oscar really bringing it, and McLaren are head and shoulders above the rest, and they're not going for best to the rest, they are trying to keep Red Bull in sight, and you've got Checo dropping down to fourth, then constant second and thirds for McLaren. If Checo doesn't nail fourth every time, if he continues his inconsistency like he did last year, where some of those are fifth, sixth, and seventh, then actually, have you got Red Bull even lapping McLaren at all? I don't even know what I'm trying to say anymore now. But like, how close have you got McLaren?
Close. Sight. I mean, talking.
You said within sight for the first half. You said they'll keep them in sight. Like, how much are you seeing a fall away, or are you thinking McLaren? They're not going to challenge for constructors, do you think?
No. Last year, Red Bull had 860 points. Mercedes had 409. I don't think we're going to see a 451-point gap again, is my point.
Okay. So, I wasn't quite sure how aggressively the swing you thought was going here.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking like 200 points, which sounds pathetic. Maybe 300 points, something. Like, they're going to beat them, and it's going to be bad because Max is going to win everything, and Checo will pop on to, you know, seconds and thirds here and there. And so, to me, I think Red Bull still wins the constructor by a lot, but not by a doubling of the second place team, like the way they did there with Mercedes is 409. I do think it'll be 100 points or so at summer break, and it'll be 200 or so, give or take, by the end of the year. And, you know, in a lot of years, we would lament that and say that's not that close. But considering what we saw last year, I think we'll all take it as pretty darn cool. So I don't know if that answered the question you were struggling to get out.
No, it did. But I mean, the one I was also going to go for instead of a Williams podium, the bold prediction is that no driver will score less than 10 points this season. But then, so I was looking at this year, and I thought there were a lot of drivers that scored less than 10, but it's a little bit skewed because you've got people like De Vries that dropped out, and Lawson that came in. You've got the AlphaTauri swap all over the place with Danny Ric only coming in at certain points. So if you kind of try to normalize that, it's a little bit four or five drivers.
K-Mag, Joe, Nico, and the, can we call it the second AlphaTauri seat? So all of them combined.
But if you extrapolate that Danny Rick got 6 points for not much of a season, I think he got, didn't he?
Right.
Danny
That's Rick correct. Got six. Yeah, six.
If you say that he probably could have got four more points if he'd been
so
there
four.
All year, then...
four drivers so like under four 10. Valtteri had 10. Valtteri had 10,
yeah,
so yeah.
Exactly. So I was going to say, can those four drivers pick up enough points? And I started looking at it, it's like, I don't think they can, because I think in order to get to 10, it's actually quite a decent... this is going to sound stupid when you look at the amount of points that Max gets, but
no,
getting to 10 points in a Haas or, you know, the Sauber actually takes a... You've either got to get one lucky race where you get way up the points, or to drag a bad car around and consistently get 10th or 9th. That actually takes quite a lot more than I think people realize.
Yes.
So I abandoned that prediction. I was like,
I know, I'm with you.
Happening.
Yuki's finished 14th last year, hit 17 points. It felt like he was always 9th, 10th, 11th the whole season. And he had to have, and you know, we were down on Yuki at a certain point, but we watched his consistency. And I think you would agree, he did the most he could in the AlphaTauri. And he was always kind of nibbling around the points. And I know he had one or two races where, you know, he was leading for a couple minutes at Abu Dhabi and he finished with good points, like a couple laps, and we were all excited. But in reality, he earned most of those through the season, one or two points at a time. And so I agree with you 100%. It's not easy getting to 10 or so points. And Yuki's 17 was pretty friggin' amazing, if I'm being honest. And Alex Albon's 27 points last year was fantastic.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that's where I was getting a bit carried away. I was like, well, if Albon could get up to 27, and that's call it almost 30, then I need some people to kind of get up to like a third of his total. Ah, no, never going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, those are our predictions. We will lock them in. We will document them, and we will ridicule each other when we get them wrong.
I'm actually most excited about some of the smaller ones. Like, I want to see if Mercedes does finish ahead of Ferrari next year and the reverse for you, the inverse, I guess.
You also want to see if Lewis wins a race, by the looks of things.
Oh, my
excited
God,
you got
I'm
earlier.
So excited. If Lewis wins a race, I'm putting on my Lewis Ferrari, almost said Ferrari, my Lewis Mercedes hat. I'm driving around town again like I used to do back in the day. I have a lot of hats from a lot of different drivers, so I'm not playing a favorite. I have lots of favorites.
Right. Well, I think that is pretty much going to be that. I'm about to go and head off, and we're recording this on Saturday because I'm going to go and sit by a swimming pool all of Sunday because my son and my daughter, they both have a swim meet this weekend. And talking of swimming, you just have to give a shout out, Brian. We have an avid fan. My son's teammate in Avon High School swim team, Seth, if you're listening, which I think you are because you're very, very excitable all the time whenever you kind of see me picking up Owen. I get a little like, feel a bit weird because it's kind of like he like looks at me and goes, I'm listening again. I'm like, okay, great. Like, it's like, I wasn't sure if he was being serious that he really did listen. Then Owen came to me and went, no, Seth, he's not messing you around. It's not like a, hey, Mr. Vale, I really like your podcast. Yeah, he does. He listens and he's a fan. So thank you, Seth. We appreciate you. We appreciate everybody that listens. We also appreciate the people that have gone on to buy me a coffee. We are almost at the point where we could buy a commercial for this pokey little pod. So thank you ever so much for people that have done that. We've added in, well, I say we, Brian probably doesn't have a clue. I've added
no
in,
idea.
So we've added in some wallpapers and iPhone wallpapers for download. Cool. If you want to pick that up. We're going to start working out what other things we can throw in there just as kind of little token gestures for people. I had some love for some of those 3D liverers that we've been doing online, like the, you know, I did one for the Washington Capitals and the Bruins and Philadelphia Eagles. Do you know what? If you support us I'm going to put one on there where you can claim your own. So if you want us to make a design for you, you've got a specific wallpaper you'd like of an F1 car with insert livery idea here, keep it clean though, then we'll do that as well. So appreciate everybody.
So don't insert the livery idea and then remove it and then put it in the, okay. Sorry, that was for Paul. I'm in the gutter. All right. Yeah, so that's awesome, Rob. I didn't know that. Thank you, everybody, for the support. We are so excited, as I said. We're a month away from, 3 weeks even, for some of the beginning livery launches. It's snowing like crazy here in Chicago. It's colder than, I can't even say the thing. It's colder than, it's about to be so cold. Winter is here, but don't worry. F1's not that far away anymore. And soon it'll be Drive to Survive time. And that's basically when you turn the corner before testing, and then Bahrain's right around the corner. And they're even doing Bahrain earlier than usual and Saudi Arabia because of Ramadan. So the races are Saturdays. So they're bringing the racing earlier than ever, and I cannot wait. I'm here for it. thanks to everybody for listening. Rob, thanks for the idea on the Magic 8-Ball. That was a lot of fun. I look forward to you putting those out there so that we can highlight these at the end of the year. I think we got some good ones in there. I liked a lot of yours. So
I found some of yours palatable.
And on that bombshell, it is time to end. Everybody, thanks so much for listening. We can't wait to talk to you in a week's time. Be well.